You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. With me, of course, Trish McFarland. Trish, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
I'm well. I'm looking directly at you.
You are. You've been around a little bit lately.
How about Waterloo, Illinois? I love Waterloo.
Thank you for helping me with the move and the family.
You're welcome.
So for those that don't know, I just moved.
Quite the project.
Well, if you've listened to previous shows, you might know I've moved and trying to do that with some injury situations in the home has been difficult, and so I relied on Steve for some heavy lifting. Yesterday, you moved a hot tub, which was interesting.
That was fun. I have never done that before.
You look like a pro. Pro hot tub mover. You add that to your LinkedIn profile.
Look, I think I have a potential fallback career in moving. I'm not sure I'm young enough for it anymore to do it every day. But
yeah, you did warn me never to move again. So
yeah, well, wait at least 4 or 5 years, please.
Right. But okay, also you probably should say why you were really here this weekend. Well, specifically, though, there was a better reason than moving my hot tub. That was sort of a bonus.
We had the nice coincidence and a nice event to attend, which is the wedding of Dwayne and Crystal, and Crystal Miller. And that was loads of fun on New Year's Eve. So it was great to be there, see lots of industry friends, lots of kids there. That was fun for that wedding. Just a really fun time.
Yeah, so the interesting thing was, I'm sure listeners probably follow both Dwayne Lay and Crystal Miller, who is now Crystal Miller Lay. And
going the dash, you think? Going
I don't the know. We need to ask hyphen? Her. We need to have them the on the show maybe afterwards.
You know what? We should.
Let's do a whole show. The Mr. and Mrs. Should. Lay show. I feel like that would be a great
Love
way to kick
idea.
Off the year, too. Because. You know, obviously, like you said, both industry leaders in different ways with, you know, with regard to branding and strategies around that, and also with software and technology, with, you know, him being at Dovetail. So
I'm all in.
I think it would be good to have them on and hear how the event went. But it was fun. Having a gathering of industry people without a conference was different. And fun.
Right, no work.
But we were all like, "What? Wait a minute, why do we do conferences? We should just do this fun part." But yeah, meeting everyone's children, you know, as you followed them on Twitter or Facebook for years and then getting to see them. And my favorite, I have to say, was having my daughter make friends with Doug Shaw's daughter. So
yes,
people
I saw
may
something about
Doug
that.
Shaw, who is in the UK and an HR leader and into recruitment and all sorts of different things regarding human resources, learning, and so, yeah, to have him over with his lovely wife, Carol, and their daughter, Kira, and it was her 14th birthday, so I think
it was. I didn't catch that.
You didn't catch
that? I missed
that
somehow in all the hijinks.
Dwayne and Crystal even had a special cake for Kira, so belated happy birthday to Kira.
Okay, well, happy birthday to her.
But,
it was nice to see Doug. I had never met him in person, and fortunately for me, and for Doug, I suppose, I was very close to wearing my white kilt to the wedding, and I didn't. I backed off at the last second.
Okay, so well, good.
We
well, maybe
been,
we have Doug on the show, too. We've never had Doug on the show. We could find out what's going on in the UK and maybe do that in the first quarter as well.
That would be great.
All these show ideas from just one wedding. I love it.
Speaking of the show, Trish.
You want to do the show?
We're on the show right now, actually. No, the show started. The show's actually started. We're 2 minutes in and some. We want to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart, and I want you to set up the show for today, if you could.
Okay, so this is the first time I think that we're doing a show about it, but that's a big deal to me. It is the Tournament of Roses Parade, and every year, instead of doing predictions, and we had our non-prediction show last week.
Love that show.
But my thing has always been, you know, there's enough predictions, and again, we've even had a few challenges pop up on Twitter. Still, no new predictions. People can criticize us having no predictions.
Stop with the predictions.
Yeah. There are no new predictions. Even the ones that are proposed as new are just flavors of the old predictions. So those aren't new.
I heard machine learning will be big, Trish, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Good. I heard also people are creating fire. So we'll see if that materializes or not. In all seriousness, every year I write about the Tournament of Roses Parade because they always have a very good theme around you know, what the next coming year will hold for people. And so for me, it's always been a little bit about tying that to work. And so, for example, last year was Find Your Adventure.
Right.
The year before was Inspiring Stories. And so I've written in the past about, you know, storytelling and the importance of that, and not just human resources, but business, or clearly finding your adventure. There are many ways to do that, and career pathing and that sort of thing. So this year we thought we would do a show around the theme. As we actually sit here, it's
on. Parade is on right now live.
Parade is on right now live, because I never miss it. And so I thought we would do a show about the theme and how that might apply to work. So this year's theme is maybe one of the best ones in a long time with regard to work. It's Echoes of Success. And so this is the 128th Tournament of Roses Parade.
Did not know that. That's excellent.
And so this one specifically, and people can go online if they want to read more about it, but I'll give you a little bit about what their interpretation was.
What does Echoes of Success mean?
Echoes of Success. And then we can see if we can somehow tie that to work.
Let's try anyway.
On the show. So it says the 2017 Pasadena Tournament of Roses theme, Echoes of Success, tells the story of how our character has developed through the selfless contributions of others, and it celebrates their inspirational gifts. It's a celebration for those people, institutions, and organizations that help in the success of others. Our successes are unique to each of us. Success is not gauged by the final score, not by how much wealth we accumulate, and should not be weighed against the accomplishments of others. Success is measured by your own personal satisfaction in knowing that we achieved our utmost by doing our best when facing challenges. It also goes on to talk about how success cannot be achieved alone.
Right.
I know we plan on digging into that a little bit. But really it all comes down to these influences in our lives, these people of selfless commitment, these echoes of success make us who we are. And the 2017 theme celebrates those who have been instrumental in helping each of us and helping others achieve success. It's about the people and the cultures that lend us a hand in reaching our destination. So I feel like when we think about just culture and employee engagement and all the different topics that to us are not new, this sort of puts a bow on some of that, right? And it talks about both organizational success, but also about that uniqueness to each individual. And we thought that might make for an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating because on one level, it seems kind of a simple thing, right? Well, yes, success is what we're all striving for. Success is, you know, the goal. It's fun. It's great. It's what we're after every day. But if you start peeling it back, there's a lot of levels to it and a lot of different ways to approach being successful. Because success, as we talked about before the show, that's not something you achieve directly. It's only indirectly, right? It's through achieving a specific goal or driving some specific business outcome or seeing something in your own, if you're in your personal life, your child graduate from college or whatever those milestones may be in your life that you can kind of consider successful. So, I mean, there's a lot of elements to success and a lot of ways to look at it. And I also think it's highly personal and highly individual. And I think one of the challenges for organizations certainly is, while the organization might set goals and have goals for the quarter or for the year and then kind of define success organizationally, maybe generically, the organization is always made up of all these individual people who might have wildly different concepts of what success is to them, which makes it kind of, I think, challenging for HR, any business leader, trying to drive success in an organization when success is made up of lots of individual successes contributing to an overall goal.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think that when you think about it being more of a feeling than a thing,
right?
Because there is emotion tied to it, that's where it gets very hard to achieve and measure and understand what will drive people to want some of those similar and consistent goals to get you to what your vision of success is. So it is very challenging, and I don't think there is a right answer.
Yeah.
Although, you know, as we prepared for this, it's like you can Google and find out all sorts of thoughts around that.
Sure. Just like the predictions, there's plenty written about how to sort of define success or how to work towards success.
I really just define my success through successories posters.
Yes. Well, right. There's a whole industry around talking about success, right?
Yeah. If I need to know what success looks like, I just buy a poster.
A couple of years ago, someone sent me the opposite of the successories calendar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was called the despair calendar, something like that.
Oh, that's awful.
And it had things like
wonderful.
it had quotes like, say, like perseverance, you know, the wisdom to know you really need to turn back. There's no way you're going to make it. You know, like the tagline. So, it's kind of become a joke in some levels as well. So,
that's
not
funny.
Hey, I thought like we could talk about some I don't know, some things to think about. And I, for me, these were pretty personal and they resonated with me as we talked about success. And I'm thinking about success for 2017, right? Like most people probably are. You want to have a good year. You want to achieve your goals, whatever they may be. So it's like, it'd be kind of dumb for us to come on here and talk about goals, like our individual goals, because no one else listening to the show has the same goals we have.
Right.
Right. So I thought it makes sense to talk more about some of these concepts that resonated with me and maybe hopefully with you too, Trish, and maybe we could sort of kick those around a little bit when we're talking about success.
Sure.
You want to hear the first one?
I would love to hear the first one. Okay. What's the first one?
Simple. Success is overcoming fear. That's my favorite one, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
And why is that? I mean, what about overcoming fear? Because I think a lot of people don't want to admit that they're fearful, whether it's in their personal life, professional life. What do you think draws you to that one?
Well, I think that one is important, at least for me, is that when you attempt to achieve a goal or work towards a goal, you may succeed, if you will. You may hit that goal. You may achieve that goal, or you may not, right? You may or may not, right? Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. It's 50-50 maybe sometimes. But if you approach the goal or that project or that activity, if you're already afraid, if you're already reticent, if you're already, I don't know, confused, like there's no way you're going to win. Like you're defeated before the game even starts, right? Because to me, the fear is overcoming the initial kind of desire to work towards the goal, if that makes sense. Whether it's write a book, get a new job, you know, ask that pretty girl out on a date, play in the band in the Rose Parade, try out for the band that's going to play in the Rose Parade.
Well, right.
If you're afraid of all those things, if those things scare you, you may never even attempt them, and then much less even achieve them. So to me, like, overcoming that fear is like step zero into achieving any goal. That's why that resonated with me, because I think I've felt that in my own life for sure. Like, I've approached things and been fearful and then either didn't give it an effort or didn't give it the best effort I could and set myself up for failure. That's why I thought that was important.
Do you think it's because failure is sometimes easier to stomach? Like, if success can also be a scary endeavor too.
Yeah.
Like, because if you are successful, then you have to live up to that bar, that level of expectation going forward, right? Because anything less now.
Oh yeah.
So it's also
right. Our last show was a really good show. Now this one needs to be just as good or better. No, I'm not even kidding.
No, right.
Whether it's your presentation or your project or whatever it is you're doing, sure, success can be scary as well.
Right. I think, too, as funny as we look back, I found a post I wrote several years ago. It was about the 3 techniques to reduce fears and promote success at work.
Oh, I like that.
And so I won't read you the techniques because you can always go and, like, go and Google that or look it on the blog, but what I started off with, I thought was kind of an interesting quote.
You have a blog, by the way?
I do have a blog.
Oh.
Yeah, HR Ringleader. You haven't heard of it? Yeah, you got to check that out.
Send me the link. Yeah.
No, seriously, I started out saying, there is no terror in a bang, only in the anticipation of it. And that's Alfred Hitchcock. So,
like that.
Success is kind of like that, right? You sort of have that fear underlying, and that might actually keep you from doing it. I did, you know, in looking back, try and find out that there are definitely barriers to people having that approach, because if you don't overcome your fear, some of the things that can really trip you up would be maybe getting stuck on, you know, other people's best practices. And I know that's really popular in our industry and even in other industries, is, you know, looking at best practices. And I think there's a place for that, but I think sometimes companies and individuals rely too heavily on that because they're really just trying to be like everyone else. And that can actually not lead to success. It can lead to mediocrity, in my opinion. I think also, you know, looking at false solutions or things that appear maybe on the surface like a solution for one company that really aren't, which is a little bit tied to the best practice thing. But, you know, we all sort of think about being successful by imitating others, and maybe that's part of it. It's the real scary part is that you really can't do that. If you're really going to be successful, wildly successful, you can't do what someone else is doing. You have to be an original.
No, what? Because if you're not, then you're an imitation.
You're an imitation, and
absolutely. It won't be your true self, and the work won't be authentic, and it really won't resonate, right?
Well, I think, too, there's a difference. Maybe we need to state that success isn't necessarily making money, because...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about money at all.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, from a listener perspective, like, we don't mean that, you know, yeah, if you want to imitate your competition, if you want to... You know,
well, that's why we hated those predictions posts so much, right? They all read exactly the same.
Right. If you want to do or write or say or create what other people have already created and just tweak it, that's fine. That's totally fine. It may make you money. It may make you a lot of money. But in essence, is that really what success looks like?
The electric light bulb was not invented by tinkering with the candle.
What?
Right? Oh, that's the old line. I don't know who said
Look
that line,
but
you didn't make the candle better. Right? You did something else.
Yeah. The true innovators that are out there growing business in a monumental way, in an exponential way, are not doing it by imitation of others.
And circling back to like point number one, we started off with a couple of minutes ago, that fear, all of those things, right? To be an original, to be authentic, to be to your true self, all those things for many people, me too, for sure, require overcoming some initial fears and maybe some regular fears as well. I mean, to me, one of the things I'm thinking about for 2017 is trying to remind myself every single day to get up and say, I'm not afraid. And that's it. And then just go on with the day.
Good. Well, it'll be interesting to see then at the end of the year, does that lead you to different opportunities or approaching things differently than you would have if you weren't in that mindset? If you truly were thinking that every day.
I'll meet you here next year on Tournament of Roses Parade and we can review.
Was it, remind me, was it maybe, it was at an Equifax event and it was one of their keynotes where, was it Sue Ursuler, the mountain climber? One of the keynotes they had said you take just a simple statement like that for yourself at any point in the year, not necessarily on New Year's, but it's a great time to do it. And you write it on a post-it note, and you like stick it on your computer. And every day you have that one simple reminder your work. So that would be interesting if you actually did something
That's the equivalent in Rocky IV when Rocky had the picture of Drago up in the mirror through the training. And then when at the end, he grabbed a picture of Drago and crunched it up when he was ready.
I love Rocky.
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. I love Rocky IV.
I must break you.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun. Okay. So what I want to touch on a little bit, though, before we get through the whole show is really the idea when the Tournament of Roses creators talked about that success cannot be achieved alone. And it really is about the influencers in your life and whether that's, again, personal life that, you know, of course, can impact your professional life or maybe it's colleagues. And I'd even go as far as to say I'm really motivated by competition.
Mm-hmm.
So my competitors, whatever, whether that's a person or a company or whatever, I think can also be an equal influencer and motivator. Can you talk a little bit maybe about what you think around success and how people tie into that?
So I found this line as I was thinking about success and doing a little bit of research this morning about how we're going to talk about success on the show. And I found this line, which reads, success is understanding you cannot keep what you can't give away. All right? So I'm going to repeat that. I repeated that twice. Success is understanding you cannot keep what you can't give away. I just like that because it was kind of had a little Zen feel to me, you know, which I dig. I'm a very big, heavy Zen guy. I love, love that stuff. But to me, that's more about, hey, if you expect or you anticipate or you require or we all require, like, Dwayne and Crystal Redding, the Dwayne and Crystal wedding, what we were just at, right? When Dr. Crosby got up there when he was doing the opening remarks and he said something about, you know, the line about it takes a village to raise a child. We've all heard that one. He said something about it takes a village to help sustain a healthy, you know, marriage or something along those lines. And he's absolutely right. And I think it's the same thing in our personal lives as well as our work lives and our organizational lives. And by that, I mean you can be motivated by competition, but you can't let competition sort of put you in a box where you're unable to cooperate, collaborate, share, and promote others when there's probably no obvious gain to you. And this is something, I touched on this a little bit, not just for the Zen feel of it, but it's something I probably need to get better at myself this year. Like, because so many people have helped me, like, and helped lift me up and share the things I write, and they listen to this show and, you know, come to presentations and, you know, send me cookies at Christmas time. Well, hardly anyone does that, but still.
My mom gave you cookies at Christmas time.
The only one, by the way. Thank you, Trisha's mom, for the cookies. They were fantastic. So I guess this is the old pay it forward. I know this sounds so dumb and so simple and we've heard it, but do you really think about it, right? Do you really consciously make that effort? A couple people we know in the industry do, like a Steve Brown, right, from Cincinnati. He's probably number one at this.
Can we wish him a happy birthday? Yeah, I'm glad you like mentioned him now.
So,
today is his birthday.
I did not know that.
Happy birthday, Steve
Brown.
Wow,
good for him. So if you subscribe to the feeling that this village concept is really true and it takes a village in order for you to succeed, you need to be an active participant in the village too.
Absolutely.
You need to pay into it and pay your dues, but pay it forward or
just have to be a contributor.
Exactly.
Be a contributor.
Yes.
And that's you know what? That's hard to do because...
And sometimes you have to give away your own things.
Yes.
I don't mean... I'm not talking about money here. I'm just talking about yourself.
Think about it. You have to give of your time, your thoughts, and maybe sometimes... I won't mention specific things, but there are times where I give away things I have actually written, done, maybe partially done, that I could make money from later. It's like you have to be willing to give away for free with no expectation of anything in return. And I think that's what brings it back. And you don't, I think the other thing is when you do that with no expectation, it comes back to you 100-fold, because then when you do need it, or maybe when you don't even know you need it, mm-hmm. you get support from those people and you don't even know who you touch in that way. I want to give a little bit of a shout to Jen McClure, because Jennifer McClure always does that. She's always someone who is helping other people,
sure.
Both with her writing, but with calls, with being in person and having conversations and just giving of herself freely. Like, she's someone you could actually pick up the phone and just call at a moment's notice and have her probably help you do whatever you needed, you know, whether it's advice or guidance or whatever. And she recently...
don't give out her number on the show.
I'm not going to give her number, but people can try and befriend Jennifer McClure.
She's great. Yes.
That's a real... An action item, if you're listening to the show, is if you don't follow Steve Brown and Jen McClure...
Right.
Do that today.
We got two... And we had a Doug Shaw shout out as well. So we're name dropping
maybe
here on
the show.
Maybe
we're like making a list. We're going to make a list of... Okay. If you're not really that into the social community in human capital management, HCM... HR, recruiting, whatever. These are people that will teach you how to be very involved and
good idea.
Give you good ideas as you proceed. But she posted something yesterday, actually. It says, not counting family members, who was the person who encouraged you the most in 2016? Which I kind of think ties to this. It's not about directly trying to impact someone's success. With that in mind, maybe, but it's about just being encouraging to other people,
right,
as they have their personal and business endeavors. And I was shocked that several people mentioned me.
Wow.
And I, like,
I would have mentioned
emotional.
You too, Trish,
it's,
but I didn't, I
you
did
didn't
not
see the post.
I did not.
No, sadly. But I want to be serious here. It's like, I don't think I ever think about that until we're talking about this show where you're, you know, cause I feel like there's so many people who play that role for me, who are encouraging to me, whatever I'm doing.
Right.
And they give me advice and they give me counsel and they give me, you know, whether it's templates or reports or whatever, you know, they help me along in my business, you know, before I've joined in for, and I know we'll continue to help, but yeah, it's interesting when you start to see people that you've had conversations with, they mention you as the person that's encouraging them. So I think it's about, you talked about Zen and having that whole, success is maybe a feeling. It's that feeling of being helpful to someone, and then later on, you get that payback.
Yeah, I think
you made an impact.
So, at the beginning, I mentioned the overcoming fear, and I want to sort of start each day with a mindset of I'm not afraid. You know, mm-hmm. why this one was drawn to me too, not just for the Zen kind of connotations, which I loved, but also this idea, because I know I'm not great at this, and I think I've always kind of thought, well, I generate a ton of content. And that's kind of my contribution, right? Like, for what it's worth. And some people find it valuable and some don't.
That can be
but,
very valuable.
But, you know, I mean, yes, I could be better. Well, I could be more available to people. I could be more of a resource to folks. I could find some younger person in the industry maybe to be a mentor for. And I've not done enough of that. And I'm hoping to do more of that in 2017.
Can I give you an idea, though? And this could apply to any listener as well. So if you're in that situation, if you are more of a content person, instead of just putting content out for the world, like on a tweet, for example. Maybe,
or my blog.
Also,
I have a blog that I write on.
Or you have a blog?
I do.
Okay,
Steve
on your
Bell's
blog.
Tech blog,
which is then also tweeted, right?
Same link.
But no, it's okay, the easy next step for something like that is thinking about who personally might that impact.
Right.
Where you tweet at that person directly and say, hey, I read this article or I wrote this and then I actually thought of you.
I've never done that, I don't think. Yeah, good idea.
That makes it that much more meaningful, because then that person feels like, wow, okay, interesting. I'll really, because when you think about, too, the word influencer gets thrown around in lots of industries. And, you know, yes, you can be an influencer by writing for a generic for the masses, right? And you think, well, maybe somebody read it. Maybe one person read it that was really impacted, but you never
sure.
really know. If you have a more targeted approach every now and then, maybe just once a week, thinking about, what have I written that might actually be impactful of someone who I know is looking for a job, who's looking to buy new technology, or who's looking for an opportunity to blah, 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 whatever it is, right? If you have a, even if it's a private email to that person and say, hey, I just wanted to check in with you and I saw this article and I really just thought of you and hope it's helpful.
I'm terrible at that. I'm going to try and do better.
You did that to me today. You sent me we don't do that often for people, but you do it. And
forgot about that. That was like 3 hours ago.
You read something that you thought might help me in my new job.
Yes.
So I think that's a perfect example. So back to, we always like to kind of provide doable, measurable things. That's a very easy thing to build into your week, of even if it's just one person.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Sending them something or a note of encouragement to say, hey, hope you're doing well. This is something I thought might be impactful for you. If not, enjoy it anyway.
Love it. Love it.
Right? I like it. I like that.
That's quick reset, Trish. This is Steve Bowes.
I'm
with Trish
McFarland.
We're wrapping
it up because I'm
Waterloo, Illinois, watching the Tournament of Roses parade, talking about success, our theme, of success.
Steve, we talked about it last year after the parade, and now we're talking about it, watching it together, which this is the next step in the evolution.
We are getting closer to ultimate goal.
Going to the parade and doing a broadcast from the Tournament of Roses parade. So we've looked into ticket prices for next year.
We're on it.
It's manageable.
I think it can be...
Close seats, little around the 300-ish price. That's fine.
I think we can get like a Dr. Pepper or a Gatorade involved in a sponsorship package for the show.
We're now watching the Foothill Marching Band, which I think they're doing a fantastic job just by the looks of it. Although, I'm not going to knock any band that performs in this parade because they're very good, but I'm going to give a special shout out to anyone who wants to go on YouTube and watch the O'Fallon, Illinois Marching Panthers, who performed, which is the band from my hometown. And they performed 2 years ago at the 2015 Tournament of Roses Parade, and they did an outstanding job. And this year are performing at the Orange Bowl.
That's so awesome. We do Miami,
Yeah, O'Fallon, Illinois has one of the highest-ranked high school bands in the nation. So... very proud of them. It's always fun to see them perform live and especially TV.
I'm not dialed too much into the marching band scene, but just last week I was down. I paid a visit to my college, where I went to college, University of South Carolina.
Oh, you did?
I hadn't been there in 25 years, probably.
Okay.
And was walking around, and I saw something that was new that I didn't remember from my time there, which is a gorgeous, brand new football field, AstroTurf field. All the lines, full 100 yards, all the markings, even the Gamecock logos painted in the right places, the Southeastern Conference logos, everything, sponsors.
Right.
Perfect. I'm like, wow.
For the football team, like a new practice field?
I walked
field,
up
maybe,
and said, look at this football field. It's like they built another field for the football team to practice on. It's gorgeous. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
A huge building next to it as well, like a big field house right next to it, like attached to the field. So, like, you know, locker rooms and tape. Well, medical rooms, tape rooms, whatnot. Get closer to it, only to find on the tower, the observation tower that was built next to the field that I thought was for the football coaches, on the sign on the tower read, such and such field, home of the Fighting Gamecocks marching band.
Is it the band field?
The band field. One of the most beautiful facilities I've ever seen for the Gamecock marching band. Gorgeous.
It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I think that... you know, I wasn't that tied into the band either, other than living, you know, when you live in a town that actually does have a nationally ranked band, that they make it a big deal. Like, you know, for sure that that's important.
Sure.
And having my kids in the junior high band too, which was the feeder band for this one, it was made very clear to the parents that, you know, the idea was to get your child involved and keep them involved so that they would someday be marching Panthers, which now that we've moved to Waterloo, Illinois, I don't think that's going to happen. We're now at a different school, which has a very good band, I'm sure. But
it's not just the Waterloo Fighting, whoever's
not
there.
Not a nationally ranked band, but at any rate. So I want to pause for a second before we get into our last little topic. But some of these floats are really creative, and I love how they tie them to the theme of the show. This one that we're looking at now is from the Shriners Hospital for Children. It's called Anything is Possible. I just feel like it's the parade. I mean, I know it's kind of cheesy for some people to think of, why would you sit there and watch a parade? But just when you're thinking about starting a new year and what you're going to do for the new year and what your goals are, it's like seeing parade themes come by. I don't know. motivates me anyway. So
yeah, it's fascinating, and the amount of hours that they put into these is incredible. The bands, the floats, absolutely. Everything.
Do you know, so I've literally, I thought about it, as long as I can remember, I've watched this parade, like, every year, like clockwork. There's only one year I can recall being on a road trip and not being able to watch it on the day. And when I was young, I wanted to be the queen. I wanted to be the Rose Queen. And
there's still time? What are you talking about?
No. I mean, do you realize you have to live there?
When
I found that out, like, because I looked into it, I was serious as a teenager. I wanted to be, or even in the court.
Yeah, just being on the team there.
I didn't have
to
be the queen, although I would have been if I was on the court. I'm pretty sure I would have campaigned hard for that one. But no, you have to, you have to have all these very specific qualifications, one which involves being, I think, a resident of Pasadena, but at any rate, so maybe I need like an event where I could just be an honorary Rose Queen attendant or something.
I'm writing that down.
Can we make a conference around that? That would be awesome. So okay, we're getting off track, Steve Bowes.
All right, one more thing I wanted to talk about success.
Okay,
and this is something I believe in really strongly.
Okay,
success is standing your ground when you believe in something, with a corollary of, don't listen to the critics.
I would agree with that. I think we've talked a lot about identifying your tribe, identifying the people who are influential and encouraging to you. One of the things, and I want to ask your opinion after I kind of make a statement about it. So you're talking about criticism, and I tend to find critics very motivational. Not that I pay attention to them, but the fact that you even have critics, I think, is an interesting place to be, because maybe you've achieved some measure of success if you're being criticized.
I'd agree with
that,
yes.
What do you think about the use of criticism? I mean, I know you're saying sort of the quote says to ignore your critics. How do you personally feel about that? I mean, do you ignore them? Does that motivate you to do something better, even take it to the next level?
I would say...
Or is it truly just like a non-event for you?
I say I largely ignore them.
You largely ignore them, okay.
But I would agree to some extent it is a bit motivational. But to me, I wrote about this on the blog a couple years ago.
Okay.
I'm going to read a little bit of this quote. Sure. It's short. This really sums up how I think about it. It's from the Finnish composer, Mr. Jean Sibelius, who lived about 100 years ago. And this is from Wikipedia page. On the one hand, Sibelius' symphonic and tonal creativity was novel, but others thought that his music should be taking a different route. Sibelius' response to this criticism was dismissive. Here's the money shot. Pay no attention to what critics say. No statue has ever been put up to a critic. Full stop. So
that's awesome. Actually.
You can hear it. Maybe you can listen to it. Should it really change? Look, now we're not talking about your tribe, your supporters, your close colleagues, your good friends, maybe even your family, who you do believe truly have your best interests at heart. I think, especially when you do a lot of the stuff that we do with the blogs and the shows and the speaking, right? We always focus in on that negative, right? Mm-hmm. We've had sessions at SHRM where we've presented to 500 people.
Yeah.
And gotten two or three negative comments, right, in the feedback.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
And then that's the only thing you read, right?
Why does that get in your head as an individual? Like,
yeah,
why does
it's just
that
negativity?
Is
right?
it because we think we should be perfect? It's like that's almost the thing. Like, we just can't take it as people if someone tries to chip away at what we thought was maybe a good performance. And obviously, no one has perfection, but it's almost like criticism is far more hurtful than praise.
Yeah, so I think it's important, if you're driving towards your goals, towards your success,
right,
like we talked about earlier, to get over your fears,
mm-hmm,
to associate yourselves with that community of people and contribute to that community of people who do have your best interests at heart and whose best interests you have in heart. And finally, to ignore this third group of people, those people who really don't have your best interests at heart, who somehow feel like taking a shot at you somehow takes you down a notch and that makes them feel good. And I'm not saying all criticism is invalid or even incorrect, but I think we pay attention to it so much. We overweight it.
So just cut that out. Which,
so I find
I
it easier just to blank it out.
Yeah,
I really do.
Out.
So if I feel like, you know, on an honest assessment of an hour presentation in front of 500 people where 30 people came up to us afterwards and engage with us and talk to us. And
we get, you know,
or 50
20
people.
Emails afterwards,
yeah,
thanking
and,
us for
and
it.
Then,
yeah.
And then 2 months later, one person said, you know, oh, you talked too fast, or you interrupted her, or whatever. You know, mm-hmm, those are the comments I would get. I'd say, you know what? Yeah, maybe I did once. Maybe I did. But, you know, we talked for 75 minutes, and 487 people were happy.
Do you think it's because critics might be focused on what really isn't the important message? And whether that's on a project, whether that's something you've written, whether that's something you've made, created, whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, it's that a critic is looking for the flaw instead of what makes it really valuable to a majority of people. Then that makes sense why you would just ignore that.
Yeah.
It really does.
This isn't like the figure skating at the Olympics where, you know, don't be the Russian judge trying to take down the skater by a tenth of a point, you know?
Right. But
don't
that's
be
what
that
people
person.
Do. Yeah.
Well, I hate people, some of them. Some
right.
of them.
Right.
No, so...
Well, 19, you know what, though? That's interesting.
That's just,
right? So maybe
again,
that's,
this was a thing I thought resonated with me. It doesn't mean it resonates to you,
no,
maybe, or everybody else.
It didn't when you first mentioned it, quite honestly, and now that you're sort of talking about it, because we threw out some ideas before the show, but we didn't talk about them. So hearing now why it's important makes me think a little differently. Like maybe that is something I could do a little more of mm-hmm. in the coming year, is to listen a little less, because I think I've always been more of a fan of winning the critics over.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, that's an alternative, right?
But that doesn't always work. And it takes a lot of energy and effort to make someone who maybe I shouldn't even really be caring about anyway, you know, like me or like what I did or understand why I did what I did. Like, maybe that's not the important thing. So that's maybe a good reminder. So if that might be my takeaway, and maybe the takeaway for some listeners is to just silence the critics, right? Just silence them in your own mind.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. I like it. Well, I feel like we came away with some actionable things.
I think so.
From the
this
Rose Parade theme. How about that?
I think it was great.
Very good.
So we got some really cool things coming up this year. It's going to be a great year at the HR Happy Hour Show. I want to thank our sponsor, Virgin Pulse.
Can we
been
talk
great.
About them for a minute?
They've been great
too,
this year in 2016 to us, for sure.
They have. And Virgin Pulse, please check them out at virginpulse.com, because I think over, you know, the one thing, it's not brand new, but if I were to say there was any prediction for the coming year, it is around wellness. I think that there is continued focus on health and well-being and in the organization, and how that is impacted and impactful, and Virgin Pulse is doing a lot there. So I would really highly recommend someone checking them out for that
yeah.
reason.
And great folks to work with as well.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a big 2017. Lots of fun on the show. Lots of exciting things in your professional life.
That's
me
right.
too. You'll hear about those for sure in the coming shows. And more HR Happy Hour Podcast Network shows in 2017 as well.
That's right. We have a new one actually coming up shortly from our friend Ben Eubanks.
Right. We've got to get on that.
He's got another one there. I know that George LaRocque is also working on some. And of course, Molly and Madeline with the Research on the Rocks, they've been researching like crazy already this winter, and I know they've got some great data coming out here in the next couple months, so we're going to continue to provide that. Thanks, you know what, and thanks to all of them.
Yeah.
I'm excited
great
to kick
group
off
of folks.
Another good year with all of them, and if you're not, you know, if you're needing information, those are the people to go to, because they've really provided a great deal of free, back to that giving back, right,
yeah.
giving back to your community. They're not going to charge you for it. It's free data, free information your organization can use to make it better.
Yeah.
So
thanks everyone for checking them out, checking out the show. We'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour Show. I want to send us off for 2017 with one more last question to you, Trish. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Trish, what's inside the cave?
Oh my gosh, how do I forget this? Only what you... Oh! I don't know. You're going to have to say it.
Only what you take with you.
Only what you take with you. Star Wars. Check it out, people. Right?
All right. Thanks so much for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.